Strange News Daily is a production of iHeartMedia.
In a world full of bizarre events, unsolved mysteries, and a billion stories from all corners of the globe, some news gets lost in the shuffle. This is your gateway to the stories on the fringe of the mainstream map. These are your dispatches in the dark. I'm Ben Bolin, and this is the Strange News Daily. Our first story today. For some reason, the magnetic field around Earth is weakening at certain points, causing dangerous issues for satellites and spacecraft. Scientists studying the phenomenon observed that an area known as the South Atlantic Anomaly has grown considerably in recent years, although the reason for this growth is not entirely clear. Using data from the European Space Agency, or ESA's, Swarm constellation of satellites, researchers found the magnetic field in the anomaly, which lies between Africa and South America, experienced more than an 8% drop in strength between just 1970 and 2020. Jürgen Motzka from the German Research Center for Geosciences says the new eastern minimum of the South Atlantic anomaly has appeared over the last decade and in recent years is developing vigorously. We are very lucky to have the Swarm satellites in orbit to investigate the development of the South Atlantic anomaly. The challenge now, he says, is to understand the processes in Earth's core driving these changes. According to the ESA, one possibility here is that the weakening field is a sign that the Earth's magnetic field, the entire thing, is about to reverse, meaning that the North Pole and the South Pole essentially switch places. This is called a geomagnetic reversal, and although it sounds apocalyptic, this, if it occurs, would only be one of several in the history of our planet. The last time a geomagnetic reversal took place was about 780,000 years ago. And many scientists claim that the next one is long overdue. That's because usually, from what we understand, these reversal events take place about every 250,000 years. So, should a reversal occur, what does it mean for life and people on Earth now? The repercussions of this event could be profound, as the Earth's magnetic field plays a key role in protecting our planet from things like solar wind and harmful cosmic radiation. Telecommunication and satellite systems also rely on Earth's magnetic field to operate. This suggests that computers and mobile phones could both experience difficulties. But honestly, and this is a little bit of a scary part here, we are not 100% sure what those difficulties might entail. After all, the last time the poles did shift, we didn't exactly have smartphones around. Right now, the South Atlantic anomaly is already causing issues with satellites orbiting Earth. Spacecraft flying in the area could also experience some sort of technical malfunction. There was a 2018 study that was published in a scientific journal called Proceedings of the National Academy of Science, which found that despite this weakening field, Earth's magnetic field is probably not reversing. Yet, at least. Overall, that's pretty good news. The study also said that the reversal process is not an instantaneous one. It's not like flicking a light switch on or off. It could actually take tens of thousands of years to occur. The ESA says it's going to continue to monitor the weakening magnetic field with this constellation of swarm satellites. The space agency stated, "The mystery of the origin of the South Atlantic anomaly has yet to be solved. However, one thing is certain. Magnetic field observations from Swarm are providing exciting new insights into the scarcely understood processes of Earth's interior." Makes you wonder, what exactly is going on there, miles beneath our feet? Let's call our second story for today, The Pizza Man's Revenge. You see, a pizza shop owner recently started gaming a food delivery app to turn a profit for his shop after this app started listing the pizzeria's prices incorrectly. The account of this story comes from a writer named Roy Ranjan, who is a friend of the unidentified pizza owner. According to Ranjan, the pizza shop owner had been dealing with multiple customers who were upset about their deliveries being incorrect or arriving late and cold. This rise in complaints about delivery surprised the owner, mainly because his pizzeria does not offer delivery. So, he checked his business listing on Google, and he found that DoorDash had added a delivery option to his pizza shop, despite the fact that he definitely did not agree to have delivery in the first place. Ranjan says that the owner never spoke to DoorDash, you know, never mind authorizing this delivery service. And there's a strange pattern going on with these non-consensual delivery services. Apparently, this ploy, where a delivery service lists itself as a business's preferred delivery service without consulting the owners of the actual business, is not unique to DoorDash at all. Other apps are doing it too. However, the pizza shop owner's problems continued. DoorDash didn't just say they were making deliveries, they kept getting them wrong. And this led to bad Yelp reviews and multiple customer complaints. It wasn't, however, the biggest problem that the owner noticed. The prices for his pizzas were off by around $8. The pizza shop itself listed specialty pizzas for $24, but DoorDash was listing them for only $16. This discrepancy inspired the pizza shop owner and his friend Ranjan to get a little bit of revenge from DoorDash. They would order pizzas from the owner's shop to exploit the difference and make a pretty good profit. They started off by ordering one pizza and paying the lower price. DoorDash then paid the pizzeria $24. But while the pizza restaurant did net a profit from the orders they placed, the two men ultimately concluded that the bigger issue here was the delivery system itself, DoorDash's practices, their setup, and so on. DoorDash, for the record, did not respond to requests for comments about this event. Meanwhile, this app, along with other major delivery services, places like Grubhub or Uber Eats, have been having pretty serious financial problems even before the coronavirus pandemic. Just back in 2019, DoorDash was said to have lost $450 million on revenues of $900 million. And as many of our fellow listeners in the audience today can assure you, often these business owners, these restaurateurs, would prefer that you just order directly from them in the first place. Our third story today. In a surprising reversal of long-standing official policy, the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, known as North Korea in the West, has issued a report denying that the country's leaders have mythical powers. In North Korea, Kim Jong-un, his father Kim Jong-il, and his grandfather, the founder Kim Il-sung, enjoy a godlike status that's propagated by a state-driven cult of personality. In fact, Kim Il-sung remains the country's official eternal president, even after his physical death. There are innumerable myths that talk about the Kim's purported talents and exploits, and some of these are taught to children in school. You'll see some stories that distort the documented, proven history about the eldest Kim, and you'll see differing claims about the birthplace of his son, Kim Jong-il. South Korean officials who analyze North Korean media say that since Kim Jong-un came to power in 2011, these tales of supernatural powers aimed at, you know, giving his father this godlike status have seen a significant decline. Some of the official Kim legends that have been popularized in international media include stories of Kim Jong-un being able to drive at the ripe old age of 3, or his father Kim Jong-il shooting a 38 under par round of golf with 5 holes in one on his very first attempt at playing golf. But there's one myth that's so widely believed in this country that North Korea's official newspaper, Rodong Shinmun, had to step in and say that it wasn't true. It's this: the idea that Kim Il-sung, the founder, did not have the ability to use what's called chukjibop. It's a type of folding space technique. Think of the teleporting fighters in all those kung fu movies. The phrase chukjibop literally means a method of shrinking the earth. It's described as the ability to move toward the blind spot of an enemy so quickly that the attacker seems to temporarily disappear. This supernatural version of a concept in East Asian martial arts has been attributed to other figures in the region's history, figures in Chinese and Japanese mythology in particular, and more recently you're going to see it depicted in Japanese animation or through the use of SFX special effects in Chinese kung fu movies. Anyhow, according to the legend, Kim Il-sung was able to use this technique to win a battle against Imperial Japanese soldiers back when Korea was a colony of Japan from 1910 to 1945, when he was reportedly leading Korean guerrillas in exile. And in a recent report, Rodong Shinmun said, "In fact, people can't disappear and reappear by folding space." This report marks the first time that North Korean state media has flatly denied a Kim family myth of any sort, at least according to South Korea's unification ministry. One ministry official told reporters, quote, "We need to pay attention to the current leader's denial of the mythification of his predecessors, including his criticism of them in October at Mount Kumgang. Kim Jong-un visited that now-shuttered inter-Korean tourist resort back in October, and he ordered that the poorly maintained facilities, which were built by South Korea, be torn down. State media even quoted the country's leader as saying the establishment of the zone was the, quote, mistaken policy of the predecessors." But make no mistake, the state media is still deifying the leaders of North Korea. They're just trying to keep the myths a little more grounded in reality. Several South Korean experts say that since Kim became leader back in 2011, propaganda projects pushing the cult of personality started to tell more believable tales because of concern that if the myths are perpetuated in an unscientific and irrational manner, fewer and fewer people will believe the more realistic stories about the Kim family. This is an important point. In previous decades, the DPRK government was able to tightly control the flow of information into and out of the country. However, the rise of cheap smartphones and easily transported media devices have given the population a new, uncontrolled perspective on the outside world. And with this new knowledge comes much-needed skepticism regarding the historical claims of those in power. Yo Dong-rul of the Korea Institute of Liberal Democracy sees this adjustment as a survival technique, noting, quote, "If they," meaning North Korean leadership, "continue using the same idolization and propaganda methods that they did in the past, the rest of the world will have a bad impression of North Korea, and the people themselves won't believe what the leaders are saying." So, he concludes, "I think the Rodong Shinmun report is a result of this shift toward realistic thinking and propaganda projects." As one South Korean vice minister said, "The Chukjibop denial should not be overinterpreted as an indication that Kim Jong-un wants to erase the legacy of the country's former leaders. The report did not mean to draw a line with those leaders either. It merely showed that every problem should be approached from a practical standpoint." And at the end, this official adds, "The characteristic of the Kim Jong-un era is that modern problem solving should not be done in the old-fashioned way. It's just like that old meme bumping around the internet, right? Modern problems require modern solutions." That's all for now. We've been asking you to chime in with suggestions for stories you think your fellow listeners might enjoy. to give us your best or worst puns and bad dad jokes, and to tell us about your personal experience with COVID-19. Let us know what's going on in your neck of the global woods by tagging #StrangeDaily on Twitter, or reach out to me directly. I'm @BenBullenHSW on Twitter or @BenBullen on Instagram. Here's a piece of heartwarming news from OnlyJennifer02 on Twitter. The Guinness World Records Organization recently ruled that Hamako Mori, aka Gamer Grandma, is officially the world's oldest YouTube gamer at 90 years old. And she's not a casual gamer either. She has over 250,000 subscribers and she plays a wide, wide range of games. One of her favorites, by the way, is Grand Theft Auto 5. So check out her show when you get a chance. I have to admit, it's oddly relaxing, even if you don't speak Japanese. Thanks, as always, to our super producer, Dylan Fagan, our guest producer, Tyler Spinoza-Klang, our research associate, Sam Teagarden, and, most importantly, thanks to you for tuning in. I'm Ben Bullen. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, stay strange.